Well, about 2 months ago, I said Justin Verlander is the most over-owned player in fantasy, and I don't really think it was met with too much resistance.
I was going to say I completely agreed with you.
Yeah, good. Yeah. So I wasn't on an island.
No, you weren't.
Well, how about that? Let me just get right to it here. Is Justin Verlander once again one of the best pitchers in baseball?
I'm going to hedge just a little bit on this. I mean, no, because we say one of the best. I mean, that's, you know, conservatively, you're saying top 10. Probably even more elite than that.
Okay.
And I'm not ready to put him that far up in my rankings.
But is he a must-start fantasy pitcher?
Yes, he is.
Yes, I would agree with that. And, you know, this is kind of why we held out for so long. He had been bad for 2.5 years, you know? And we were just a few weeks ago finally giving up on him. You know, it's kind of unfortunate, the timing of it, but it's just, there was nothing underlying the numbers that would lead you to believe he could go that wrong. The velocity was down a little, but it shouldn't have made that drastic a difference unless his fastball was just so straight that it could make that big of a difference. But then how was he so good before that? You know, it just didn't make sense. And I read something even before this near no-hitter on Fangraphs. They did a nice breakdown of the turnaround, and they showed the difference in his follow-through post All-Star break and pre All-Star break, and just how different he looked. Just looked a lot more in control and athletic, I guess, post All-Star break than he did pre All-Star break. And those are some of, you know, those are those mechanical issues that we make reference to, in vague terms because we don't completely understand them and we can't completely see them, and why, you know, for what all the numbers tell us, we can't come up with the definitive answer always because things like that happen, and it can make this big of a difference.
Well, I'm looking at your rankings now, and he's right around 40th, Mr. Verlander, in the rankings for both of you. Is that going to change? Is he going to be even higher?
Yeah, he will for me. Question, of course, is how high I can get him. I'm going to say probably around 25th.
All right, let me throw out names for you. Iwakuma or Verlander?
Verlander.
Yep.
Waka or Verlander?
Yeah, that's right around where I'm going to put him in my next rankings update. I'll go Verlander.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah, I've got Waka 27th. Like I said, I'd probably put him 25th.
I have Waka a good bit higher. I have him 21st. So, looking at the names I have around 25th, that sounds about right for Verlander. It's guys like James Shields and Shelby Miller. But Waka's still above him for me.
You guys have to get that Jordan Zimmermann guy a little low in your rankings, I think.
Yeah, he'll get there.
Although I know he's got a nice schedule coming up. A lot of Phillies and Braves and Marlins coming up. But
I just think you're a little harsh on Verlander.
On Zimmermann,
Zimmermann.
I don't think I'm harsh on him at all.
All that's changed, really, is the strikeout rate. And that was, last year was the aberration. We considered him a top 30 pitcher before last year.
The thing that bothers me is really not about Zimmermann himself. It's when I took a look at what the Nationals as a staff were allowing on ground balls and realizing that, Zimmerman's probably not immune to that. So, you know, that alone would probably, just knock him down a few spots, probably upper 30s.
Oh, boy, Al, I am glad you said that. And let me tell you why. What if I told you there were a starting pitcher out there who has a career low walk rate, same as it was last year, still respectable strikeout rate, and an absolutely by far career high ground ball rate, and has given up very, very few home runs this year? You'd be interested in that pitcher, right?
I sure would.
You know who he is, right?
Actually, I'm not sure.
He's Gio Gonzalez.
Ah.
Who's having
the one national starter I wasn't thinking of.
He's having a terrible season. Second lowest home run rate of his career. Again, career low walk rate, ground balls are way up, 353 BABIP. This guy, Gio Gonzalez, is 91% owned, 61% started. I can't see how you're starting him at this point. He doesn't even go five innings five innings or less in six of his last seven starts, but are you dropping Gio Gonzalez at this point? And what do you make of these crazy numbers?
Yeah, I'm dropping. I already was dropping him even before now because of everything you said. And, you know, maybe a lot of it does have to do with the Nationals defense, but that's not something we can really test until they get a different defense, you know?
Right. He has a 320 FIP for what it's worth and a 411 ERA.
Yeah. You know, the thing is that he's got to be better than respectable for a strikeout rate. I mean, that's the thing that's always been the saving grace for Gonzalez, is that the control's never been good, but he gets the strikeouts to compensate for it. And he's always been really good at avoiding home runs. So the difference for him this year, I think, besides the BABIP, and again, I think he probably has gotten a raw deal there a little bit, but not as much as you might think. But unless he's striking out a batter per inning, I don't think he's worth keeping.
He's not that far off, 123 Ks and 135 and two-thirds.
Wouldn't seem like it would make a difference, but that's for a standard mixed league, you know, group of pitchers. That's pretty ordinary.
It's also a very low number of innings for a guy
who's
been starting
all
year.
That's important, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we might not notice the strikeout rate if he was going six or seven consistently, but he's not.
All right, so next week, Gonzalez has two starts at St. Louis and home against Atlanta, and you're not rolling the dice there?
I'm not.
Just about every pitcher who started yesterday is a two-star pitcher next week. So we won't talk necessarily about all of them today. We'll save some for tomorrow's show, which I'll be hosting because Chris Towers is going out of town. So we get to reverse roles here. I guess now's a good time to welcome everybody to Thursday's edition of the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast, a little bit later than usual. We're going to start doing our shows around 11 a.m. instead of the 9:15 a.m. that we had been doing, as football has the early slot now. The exception might be on Mondays when we want to get you help setting your lineup. But they'll be a little bit later, but not too late in the day. Let's talk more about Wednesday and Shelby Miller. So 95% owned, 70% started. In his last 18 starts, Shelby Miller has a 3.24 ERA, and he's not even a top 80 starting pitcher in fantasy. That's because he's 0-10. And I thought it was going to change. I called it. I thought he was going to break the skid and win a game yesterday, and he almost did, but he coughed up some runs in the seventh.
Yeah.
Two-star pitcher.
He didn't really deserve to win that one.
Two-star pitcher next week. And actually, I was surprised. Over that 18-game stretch, now the ERA is good, the record's terrible, also has a 137 whip. He's got Miami and at Washington. Can you start Shelby Miller?
With two starts, you can. Because you figure he's got a pretty good chance to break the skid against Miami. He could win either of those games, really. I mean, he pitches well enough to keep the Braves in the game, which, you know, takes a lot.
And you don't, in two starts, you don't necessarily need
a win.
Have a respectable showing.
Would you go with a one-start Colin McHugh or a two-start Shelby Miller?
Probably McHugh at this point, but that has just as much to do with him stepping things up his last five starts than as it does Miller's losing or non-winning streak.
Yeah, McHugh's got Seattle next week, and he has a 189 ERA in his last five. Who else stood out to you guys yesterday, Scott and Al?
Well, Jason Kipnis did, but I have to admit he stood out not just because of what he actually, you know, did in the game, but because he's somebody that I've been writing about for my column that should be up sometime tomorrow. But, you know, Kipnis, a home run and a double, both off of Jimmy Nelson. So I think that's relevant because Nelson doesn't fare well against lefties. But that's been a rare power outburst for Kipnis this season. And in researching how he's put his season together, and, you know, a season that's made him really valuable in fantasy, the lack of power really stood out to me.
But a lot of doubles, right, Al?
Yeah, a lot of doubles. But
that was only his second home run since May, which is shocking to me because, I mean, when he got off to such a great start, power was part of the equation, but it's been so long since he's been hitting home runs.
But, yeah, he's got 35 doubles, and I think he was, and six triples. I think he was among the league leaders, probably in both categories, before his injury.
Yeah, but now here's the thing, because I'm doing a piece on players with extremely high BABIP so far this year. And he is clearly one of them. Now, the number I'm looking at is a couple days old, 377, but I'm guessing he's still above 370. It's pretty rare for a hitter to finish the season above 340 or 350. So this is extreme. And there are some hitters who have profiles that would suggest that, well, they can be well above average. If they pull the ball a lot, they don't hit a lot of fly balls, they have some speed, they hit a lot of line drives. Kipnis is hitting a lot of line drives, but that of all those factors that I just mentioned, that's the one that's most vulnerable to chance or susceptible to chance is the line drive rate. He's, you know, okay is an all fields hitter. He's, you know, hitting a lot of ground balls, but that's killing his power game. And, you know, meanwhile, he's doing this on batting average. And I'm not buying the batting average long term. And that's affecting his doubles total too.
All right. Would you rather have Odor or Kipnis?
I would definitely rather have Odor.
Scott?
I'm still taking Kipnis, but I mean, it's probably closer than I was supposing.
Any other standouts from yesterday, from Wednesday's games?
Well, let's talk a little about Nelson himself. He walked 8.
Ouch.
After 187 ERA in his previous 8 starts, he had been on a really good run, emerged as seemingly a trustworthy mixed league option. I think it was kind of a fluke. It was a light rain going on. He talked about how he had trouble getting the right grip on the ball because of it, and that might affect a pitcher's control, right?
It would affect mine.
Yeah. So I'm not really worried about Nelson. I think he'll recover from this start, and you can still trust him, at least when he's making 2 starts or facing a lot of right-handed hitters because of the big lefty-righty, the difference in the lefty-righty splits.
Well, let's see who he's got next week. Pittsburgh and at Cincinnati, 2-start week for Nelson.
Pittsburgh has a lot of left-handed hitters. Cincinnati's best hitters are left-handed.
Yeah, I don't like that. I think I'd probably avoid Nelson.
In a points league, I'd start him because I could deal with a 450 ERA, but maybe not in a roto now.
Edwin Encarnacion has a hit in every game in August, something like a 23-game hitting, 21. I don't know. It's a lot of games for Edwin Encarnacion. He had a grand slam yesterday. He's homered in 3 straight games, 5 out of 7. Believe it or not, over the last 28 days, despite slugging .806, it is only the number 4 first baseman in points and number 2 in roto behind Chris Davis. It's kind of I think it's an at-bats thing. Might have missed a few games. Only 72 at-bats, a little lower than the rest of the field. But wow, he is making up for lost time. Encarnacion's slugging percentage is over .500. He's got 26 home runs now. Woo! He's smoking.
Yeah, his numbers basically are up to where they were last year when most of us considered him a first-round pick, I think. Well, coming into this year, we did, based on what he did last year. And when I went through the process of kind of projecting the first 2 rounds for next year, I wasn't even really considering Encarnacion. He could bring himself back into this discussion. It's really between him and Jose Abreu, because Abreu was the last of the first basemen I included in those first 2 rounds. Right now, I'd still lean Abreu because age and health and, you know, certainly in roto, he's a better bet for batting average. But it's going to be interesting to see how they finish.
Johnny Cueto, anybody worried about him? 2 bad ones in a row.
Just a little bit, and it's more just because of the injury history with him that when you see back-to-back bad starts, or at least when I do, I think, hope he's all right. But, could just be one of those things too.
Any other must talk about guys? Obviously, we have a lot of show left, and we'll get to a lot more players, but did I miss anything?
I kind of wanted to talk about Yasiel Puig, but...
He was going to obviously homer yesterday against crappy pitcher. Because he was in my FanDuel lineup, and Kipnis was. I won yesterday. What's up?
The thing with Puig is just that he is, since the break, hitting with more power, but the plate discipline's been pretty bad. he has been hitting more fly balls. So it looks like a selling out for power kind of situation with him. But I don't know. I find it interesting because I think it'd be really easy to go to a narrative with Puig where there's been a lot of negativity around him this year. You know, and a lot of it performance related, and rightfully so, because he's been a disappointment. You know, at times he hasn't played regularly, and now, you know, we see some other problems in his offensive game. But you could also look at it that he's 24, and we've seen him go through these different phases. And I think it could be really easy to kind of oversell the storyline of, you know, he doesn't work hard, he's got a bad attitude, you know, he's kind of going in the wrong direction. So, you know, I'm withholding judgment on Puig and actually trying to look at the positive side that at least he's hitting for more power now.
Are you back to starting him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah.
Who would you rather have rest of season in a vacuum? That was more of a dustbuster sound than a vacuum. Sorry about that. But would you rather have Justin Verlander or Yasiel Puig?
I'd rather have Verlander right now.
My oh my.
Now you're talking, I'm sorry, did you specify keeper or was that redraft?
That is redraft.
Yeah, no, I'd rather have Verlander.
I think so too, yeah. Things
right.
Change.
We'll get to the rest of Wednesday's slate in just a little bit. But FanDuel, hey, join our league, FanDuel.com/CBSPod. You can compete against us every Monday through Friday. It's only $2 to enter. It's a tournament where the first place gets $100, and I believe the top 20 get paid something. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Get on there and play against us, FanDuel.com/CBSPod. That CBS Pod is also our offer code. If you go to FanDuel right now and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, you will use that offer code CBSPod, and for every dollar you deposit, up to $200, FanDuel is going to match it, and that money gets earned as you play. It's the leader in one-week fantasy baseball. More money than any other daily fantasy site. It is the best. It is so much fun. And I am on a one-game winning streak. So everybody celebrate. More FanDuel a little bit later. Also watch Daily
one
Fantasy
game
Live.
Winning streak.
What's that?
Is that even a streak?
No.
One game.
You know the line in Major League. We won one today. We win tomorrow. That's two in a row. We win another. What's he say? We win another one. That's called a winning streak. I butchered the line. But
you don't know the line. You said you did, and you don't.
I know the line. I don't know it verbatim.
Oh, okay.
But I know of the
line. You know the gist of what he was saying.
Yeah, exactly. I can paraphrase.
That's pretty good when you can come out of a movie knowing the gist of what the characters are saying. That's accomplished something.
Absolutely. That's primary objective. All right, let's get to some of the news. Steven Matz had a great rehab start. Is he going to have a big finish?
I think so. I mean, we were really excited when he got called up. He completely lived up to expectations. He seems to be, his rehab assignment seems to be going as smoothly as possible. I don't know why we wouldn't be just excited about his return. And he should have plenty of bullets left based on the time he missed.
As I look up his ownership percentage and type in his last name, would you rather have Steven Matz or Tyler Matzik, who also came up in the search results?
I'm going to go Matz.
Okay. He's 80% owned, so he's available in some shallower leagues. Al's keeping an eye on Matt Moore, isn't Al?
Yes, I am. I'm not going to go third person there. I mean, he had this sensational 16-strikeout start with AAA Durham. He's pitched well since going down. And by the way, I owe an acknowledgement here to Kung Fu Blanda.
Yes.
Because I will admit, I'd completely taken Moore off my radar, and I saw on Twitter that Mr. Kung Fu Blanda had pointed out this start for Moore and mentioned him as a possible September call-up. I thought, maybe there's something to this. I don't know where he would fit in the rotation, and there's no innings limit on either Nate Karns or Erasmo Ramirez, and both are pitching well enough, but who knows? I think if you've got a bench spot in any kind of format going forward, given the upside, given what he's doing in AAA, I think he's worth stashing if you can.
He's 24% owned, that Matt Moore. My editorial here, Washington needs to get Jason Wirth out of the lineup. It's ridiculous. They are going to, they are almost done here. You don't have that much time left. So I have my eye on Michael Taylor. Quite frankly, I don't know that I would have him in any of my leagues, but I assume there are some leagues where Michael Taylor would be relevant if he started playing close to every day. What do you guys think?
I don't know. Is he that much of an upgrade? I mean, Worth has a near 800 OPS over his last 10 games. Taylor has like a 700 OPS on the season. The power numbers and speed numbers are about what we hoped they'd be. He's on a near 20-20 pace. I might be giving him a little too much credit for the home runs there. But just not a lot of the peripherals that really make a player stand out, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think it's crazy for them to stick with Worth a little longer to see if he can right the ship. I mean, he did have a good series at Colorado, so.
Everybody had a good series at Colorado.
Right.
I just, you know, they time is not on their side.
No.
Yasmani Grandal expected back today. Brandon Crawford hoping to be back soon from an oblique injury. Carlos Gonzalez returned to the Rockies lineup. Rougned Odor, I think they salvaged his fingernail, and he hopes to be back today. Matt Duffy.
Really?
Was
they
that?
Saved it?
Yeah, I think so.
They glued it back on?
I don't know. I have trouble even talking about it. It's so gross to me. Where am I? Matt Duffy. Matt Duffy's day-to-day with a sprained ankle. Glenn Perkins day-to-day with lower back spasms. Kevin Jepsen got the save for the Twins last night. Cleveland does not seem too concerned about Carlos Carrasco's shoulder. Hopefully that is just a short-term thing. And Joe Girardi hoping to get Teixeira and Ellsbury back tomorrow at Atlanta. So that... The AL second wild card race is so bad. That Twins-Rays game last night was like a huge game, and I didn't even realize it.
But well, I don't know how huge a game could be in August.
No, it's, I mean, they're two teams fighting for that spot. They're playing head-to-head, presumably for the last time.
There's a bit of time left still.
Every game is huge now. You know what, Al? I'm going to say it. Every game is huge from this point on.
Now you've said it twice.
It's crunch. It's crunch time.
Huge, yes.
It's huge. Yeah, I mean, the Angels have collapsed. Looked like they were going to be one of the wild cards for a while. Now the Rangers are ahead of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's been a good week for the Astros and the Blue Jays. They've both, over the last 2 days, gained two games on the Yankees and the Rangers, respectively, in their divisions. But, I mean, if you just think about the NL wild card, the Pirates and the Cubs are the two wild card leaders right now,
mm-hmm.
and they have 49 and 52 losses. And the AL wild card, the Yankees are number one. They have 57 losses. The Twins are number two at 61 losses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're so far back in the wild card in the NL. It's pretty bad. It's not relevant to fantasy, so this is. Two starting pitchers who I think had misleading lines yesterday. One was Chris Archer. He a couple of bunt singles in the seventh. He had given up two runs in six innings and then left with the bases loaded, nobody out. The bullpen gave up a couple runs, and nobody's worried about Archer, but he struck out 12 guys. The other is Michael Pineda. He had given up just one run in four innings, ended up giving up five runs in four and a third, but in that fifth inning, you had an infield single, then a walk, then a bunt single, then a sacrifice fly, and then a new pitcher who gave up some runs. So not a terrible start for Pineda. He's got two starts next week. How do you feel about him?
Yeah, I'd feel good about after this. You're right, misleading line. Decent start for Pineda, all things considered. I feel good about going with him next week.
Ooh, I don't know that he has. Actually, I don't think he does because they're on six-man now maybe.
I think they were going to be before Sabathia got hurt.
They might insert Brian Mitchell. Well, I'll tell you what. He's not on the two-star pitcher list. So if Pineda is a one-star pitcher, what do you do with him?
I'm probably still starting him. Depends on alternatives, but I'd say in most cases I'd go ahead and start Pineda.
Two home run club from yesterday. Justin Upton, Eduardo Escobar, and Evan Gattis.
Booyah.
For who? For Justin Upton?
All of them. I mean,
you can't just blanket booyah like that, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to booyah Eduardo Escobar.
Well,
have a day, Eduardo.
Okay. Look, I mean, Upton, I don't even know what booyah means, to be honest. I just sounded like a proper reaction.
It's celebratory.
Yeah. Justin Upton's hot again, all of a sudden. Mr. Streaky, last 27 games, 293, 7 home runs, at 991 OPS. So you can feel good about starting him playoff time here. And Gattis, we were just talking about him yesterday, how, oh, yeah, he's been a disappointment because he's not going to get those 30 home runs. Suddenly he's on pace for 28 now. Maybe he does get those 30 home runs.
Yep, he's number two in points, number three in Roto, behind Posey and, I believe, McCann in Roto.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, he's done it quietly. Not sure why it's been so quiet.
Is it just that catcher's been bad this year?
Oh, that's a big part of it. Because, I mean, home runs are, well, I guess home runs and triples are all Gattis has brought to the table. Crazy number of triples.
Yeah.
I expected better, not just in terms of home runs, but all around from him. But obviously, the position being as weak as it is, the home runs are enough to carry him.
Four up now. We got four up, three down, some more pitchers to talk about. And, you know, pretty much, show's going to be, I guess, a little bit different going forward. I think we've got to focus either on 2016 value or, more importantly, start and sit week by week. Who's going to help you win your league? Chris Davis is 52% owned. Chris with a K. Homered again. He has six hits in his last six games, and five of them are home runs. No walks, eight strikeouts. How do you treat a guy like Chris Davis?
I think I would be very reluctant to start him in a points league because you just said it with those numbers last six games. All he does is hit home runs, and obviously he can't sustain that. He's a hot hand right now. If I needed to make up ground at home runs in a roto league, I'd be pretty happy about starting him, but in the long run, assuming he has enough time to cool off, and we don't really know, you know, when it'll stop. There's no way to predict that. I don't think he's going to be that useful.
Would you rather have Chris Davis or Jackie Bradley Jr.?
Davis.
I would too if Bradley were playing more regularly. I'd probably go Bradley, but he's not, yeah. So I won't.
Would you start Chris Davis over a slumping Jay Bruce?
No.
Mm-mm.
And last one, would you rather have Nori Aoki or Chris Davis?
Aoki. I was thinking about it in Roto. I mean, in points league, it's a no-brainer for me to go Aoki.
Yeah.
I think I'm still probably going with him in Roto, but categories there would be a consideration.
Sure. Mike Moustakas. 2-for-3 with a home run yesterday. Last six games, four homers, three doubles, 86% owned. Moustakas has started in 68% of leagues. I think we had kind of written him off, and now he's hot. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll agree. I think Scott and I probably both had soured on him, and I think maybe it was a little premature. And yet, at the same time, he is more of a roto option just because of the deeper rosters.
Even yeah. Heath had soured on him, to be fair.
Wow.
Well, I don't know that I want to about face again because, you know, early in the year when he was mashing lefties, and by the way, this home run was off Brian Matta as a lefty, so that's nice to see, but the overall numbers against lefties don't look great. I don't think he's hitting the ball the other way as much as he did early on. Like, early on, it seemed like he could have this huge breakthrough that made him, like, a high-end third baseman. And just because he's hot now, I don't think there's the potential for him to get back to maybe be a high-end third baseman again. I think he's a serviceable third baseman. I think he's in that Trevor Plouffe range where, you know, if you're starting him at third base, he's probably not the reason you're losing, but at the same time, you could stand to upgrade too.
Rest of season, Moustakas or Josh Harrison?
Moustakas.
I agree.
Kind of interesting what they're doing with Harrison. Giving Polanco a break yesterday, they'll give Aramis Ramirez a break. Sometimes they'll give Neil Walker a break, and they'll give Harrison a break.
Reminiscent of this time last year. I think that's how they were getting a playing time.
Yeah. You know, we talked about Francisco Lindor quite a bit yesterday, but 2-for-3 with two walks, three steals. And over the last 28 days, number two shortstop in points, number one in Roto.
He stole three bases yesterday?
He sure did.
Wow, I didn't notice that. That could be a game changer. I mean, part of the reason I was less enthusiastic about him than Chris was because he didn't have that standout category. I mean, I guess batting average, he's pretty good, but that's not the most trustworthy, and it's not like you're going to make up ground in that category, really, this time of year. But if he becomes... I do think he has the potential to steal bases, and if he shows more of it, then, yeah, he could be a real standout at shortstop.
Yeah, Lindor is 71% owned.
Now, I'm assuming those were all off of Lucroy?
They were. I think they stole five bases yesterday, Cleveland.
Yeah. So that's the thing is, Lindor has been a really inefficient base stealer in the minors. So I think that you could see occasional games like that from him when, you know, there's a catcher that's not so good at throwing out base runners, which I would put Lucroy in that category. But, yeah, I'm not as enthused about Lindor.
I don't know for a fact that they were all against Lucroy. I will try to check.
I will do more than try to check.
Isn't it funny? Yeah, you can do that then. Isn't it funny that, like, at this point in the season, I have such box score fatigue that, like, yeah, you could miss. Somebody stole three bases. Sometimes you're like, well, this guy got the save yesterday, and in my mind, I'm like, really? I totally missed that. Like, I just, I don't know. I keep overlooking things, and box score is kind of bad.
Yeah, no, I'll admit I missed it too. All five were off of Lucroy. All three of Lindor's were off of Nelson and Lucroy and Abraham Almonte. That's weird. I saw Almonte stole two, but I didn't see that. Yeah. Lindor stole three, and one of Almonte's was off of Tyler Thornburg.
Travis Shaw, 42% owned now. I think last week he was like 12% owned.
People are still playing.
Yeah, that's good to see. He's batting .312 with seven home runs, 16 RBI. He's 1-for-4 yesterday with a home run. Six walks, 20 strikeouts in 30 games. Travis Shaw, is he legit?
And I actually called him a sit in the, looking at the five best and worst matchups for next week because I guess they haven't played their series in the NL yet, so he could still be the odd man out with Ortiz playing first. It'll be interesting to see how that goes, because it'll show just what the Red Sox are thinking with him if they see him as somebody they could potentially develop long term. I don't think it's a slam dunk that he's not legit, if that makes sense. The double negative there.
Is it worth taking a shot on Travis Shaw?
If you need help at corner infield, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking deeper league, but I don't know, when you say corner infield, so you're saying like a 12-team mixed roto, plug them in.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, first base and third base are both so deep. I can't imagine a league where every team's starting just one. You'd need to resort to him, but there's something to just playing the hot hand too, especially this time of year.
The other thing too, just longer term, if Shaw does cool off, that Hanley Ramirez working out at first base gives him another potential option.
Yeah, yesterday I think Hanley DH'd and Ortiz got the day off against Chris Sale. Yeah, you know what? You just sit this one out. Three down, Kyle Seager, Jay Bruce, and Russell Martin. Seager did homer yesterday, but he has been very cold, and right now is a 730 OPS, which is lowest in 4 years. But if you know, last 28 games, Seager's batting .185. Before this 28 game stretch, he was having his best season, based on OPS. Also, he only has, 49 RBI and a .167 batting average with runners in scoring position. And last stat, as I overwhelm you with Kyle Seager stuff, hitting better against lefties this year than righties. So kind of a weird year for him. Jay Bruce is batting .141 with one home run, three walks, 26 strikeouts in August after a huge July. And Russell Martin is one of the coldest hitters in baseball, 6-for-54 in August with no extra base hits. Would you consider sitting any of those three, Seager, Bruce, Martin?
I would definitely sit Martin just because of the three, he's the fringiest just to start off with. I wasn't really buying into what he was doing early in the season. And with Bruce, I mean, this is just the perennial issue that you have with him is you figure out how to deal with the slumps. And when I've owned Bruce, I just generally try to work through because you never know when he's going to get red hot.
Well, I think that's kind of true for Martin, too. And I mean, we talked about how weak catcher is. And you know, the only league where you could justify sitting him is probably a one-catcher league, which is more likely a points league, which is his better format anyway because he walks so much. So I'm not sure I'd be thrilled about sitting any of them. I think the one I could actually conceive sitting most is Seager, because there are so many great third base options.
Right.
Like a Miguel Sano, you know, if you're, the Seager owner may have ended up picking him up, or, you know, maybe Adrian Beltre, who's been great since the All-Star break.
What about Josh Harrison? Not quite.
No.
You know, we both like Moose better than Harrison. Ask him about Moose.
What about Moose? Would you start Moustakas over Seager?
Probably not.
Got to check the matchups, of course.
Yeah.
You know, Bruce and like Justin Upton, I'm sure I've had this conversation before on the air, but let's do it again. I am much more likely to draft them in roto leagues, but in head-to-head, I can't stand these players. You know, like because I know I'm not going to sit them, right? And, you know, maybe Bruce at this point in his career, but.
Well, if you remember, Bruce was on the waiver wire in the podcast league for weeks.
Yeah. Well, you have him, right? So how do you start him?
I'm starting him because Hunter Pence went back on the DL.
Right. But you wouldn't want to start Jay Bruce.
Right. I wasn't starting him before that.
So much easier in a roto league. You leave him in, you know, you're going to get your stats at year's end. But in a head-to-head format, whether it's categories or points, it could be tough with these guys. Frustrating, at least. Three-man rotation. We talked about Gio and McHugh, so the last guy is Hector Santiago. Kind of tough to start him now, too, right?
Are you getting tired of talking? There was exasperated sigh in there.
No, I didn't know if you guys were going to chime in. And then I was exasperated just by the streakiness of Jay Bruce and Justin Upton.
Okay.
But also, Hector Santiago makes me sigh.
Hector Santiago, and no, I'm not not starting him now. I'm interested about how you feel, because you are the grand marshal of the Hector Santiago parade.
Yeah, it seems like he's run out of steam. The walks are back. There's no way I'm starting him. I wouldn't even mind dropping him. 91% owned. If Joe Ross is out there, he's got two. I don't know what his ownership percentage is. That might be stupid. If Steven Matz is out there, I would absolutely make that swap.
Pat Corbin.
I don't think I want to gamble on Corbin because it seems.
Oh, really?
Well, I'll tell you why.
What gamble?
look at his last like six starts, Corbin. I think four of them have been really good.
Mm-hmm.
And or seven starts. Five have been quality starts. Two were terrible. And if he runs into any trouble in the first or second inning, they have the shortest leash for him. And they take him out because they don't want to tax Corbin's arm at all. So I don't trust him, really.
Well, okay. I have a feeling, you know, as he puts this rehabilitation behind him, he's going to level off with more of the good starts, because really like what I see with the underlying numbers. How many strikes he's throwing, how many swings and misses he's getting.
Also, he's at Colorado in his first start next week, so you might be sitting him at Colorado and at Cubs, who have been mashing as well.
But we were talking about an ad drop scenario. I would much rather own Corbin than Santiago.
I would too. But week to week, Joe Ross is 68% owned. He's his two-start guy next week. You know, if you're playing week to week, I don't know that you want to pick up Corbin just because of the matchups. Is that fair?
Sure.
Okay, Bartolo Colon, any interest in him? And here's why. Next week he's facing Philadelphia and Miami.
No, I think there's implosion potential with any matchup with Colon.
Okay.
I'm not willing to go there.
How about Chris Bassitt? He pitched yesterday and not well, but that was his first bad start in a while. He's got the Angels and the Mariners next week, and Bassett's 57% owned.
I think it was his first start all season allowing more than three earned runs, and it was still only four, so, you know, it wasn't that bad.
It was terrible.
I was going to say.
Seven hits, five walks, one strikeout.
I think he threw about half of his pitches for strikes.
Oh, well. Okay, fair enough.
That could be an outlier. That's not the kind of thing I would expect from Bassitt, but.
Yeah, I'm not changing my opinion of him based on this start. I think he's still probably worth owning in 12-team leagues.
All right, we can do more on him tomorrow when we talk two-star pitchers.
Talk about how his control issues were hounding him.
Ba-doom-sh. That was excellent. I actually really like that one, Al.
I'm glad you did. I hesitated because it's every single time we talk about Chris Bassett, I want to make a pun.
That never would have occurred to me. Very good. In the bullpen, Sean Doolittle is owned in 28% of leagues. Low velocity, bad results so far. Is he worth owning, Sean Doolittle?
No.
Nah.
And in deeper leagues, Rick Porcello and Jared Eichhoff. Do you have any interest in either of these guys?
Eichhoff. You cough.
Yeah. I'll cough.
For Eichhoff. No. I mean, unless coughing's a bad thing. I would think it is. If we're coughing for a pitcher, that's probably...
Yeah, it's no good.
Yeah.
All right, so he's at the Mets, at the Red Sox next week. Eichhoff is, I mean, he's more of a deep leaguer, but even in those formats, I really want to see who he's playing and where he's pitching, because he's an extreme fly ball guy. So he's got a little Chris Young-itis. And of course that has its upside too. So, I think those matchups aren't quite good enough for me to use them outside of NL only next week.
More news and notes. Angel Pagan should be back today. Matt Cain might be out of the Giants rotation. Tim Hudson could replace him. Dexter Fowler was rested a day after he fouled a ball off his leg. Roenis Elias will rejoin the Seattle rotation, and he will pitch tonight against the White Sox and maybe get lit up.
Is he, I had not seen this item. Was he taking Montgomery's place? Or
for now, he's taking Vidal Nuno's place, who pitched out of the bullpen yesterday. But apparently it's not a certainty that Nuno will stay out of the rotation.
Because of Mike Montgomery. He's pretty awful.
Francisco Cervelli day-to-day with a foot injury. Oh, by the way, James Paxton maybe gets back in the rotation at some point, right?
Yes.
Desmond Jennings out with a knee injury yesterday. Addison Russell returned to the Cubs lineup. We'll do DFS in a little bit. Not a big night slate. I think only 7 games tonight, something like that. So not the easiest. But here are some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. This one is from CJ in Toronto. It says, "Dear Fantasy Steven, Ron, and Lloyd." And then he tells us that those names are from Undeclared. And then I want to know, like, PPS should have been what Undeclared is.
It's a movie, right? Or is it, I don't know if it's a movie or TV show.
It sounds like a movie.
Yeah, it sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, it was like,
it's
a college
TV series.
That got canceled or something.
Like a college themed thing.
It's a Judd Apatow TV series, apparently. Oh, yeah, I remember that. I never saw it, but now I remember it.
Yeah.
Got good ratings. 8 out of 10 on IMDb, 8.6 out of 10 on TV.com, which is a thing, apparently. All right, here's the question. Is it time to cut bait on Jed Lowry in a AL-only 12-by-12 league? I could pick up Eduardo Escobar, Ketel Marte, Alcides Escobar, or Marwin Gonzalez. He needs an average bump.
Oh, yeah. He called Ketel Marte Scott Favorite, spelled the Toronto way. And that's my pick.
That's mine, right. Too.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, both of our favorites.
Yes.
From Nick, "Dear Experts, in my best Seinfeld voice... So what's the deal with Jock Peterson?"
That's not a very good Seinfeld voice.
It's really hard to do that because it's fighting my urge to
I was going to say it was a blend of the two.
Yeah,
it
was like...
More like it sounded more like faux George Peterson than Seinfeld.
Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry.
Yeah.
What is the deal?
Yeah, you've got the interesting statistical nugget, right? Or that was Chris yesterday. One of you said,
I think probably Chris, do you remember what the nugget is?
Yeah, that, now unfortunately I don't know what the time span was, but over some lengthy time span, maybe since the break, don't remember, hitting under 200, but an OBP somewhere, I think over or at least close to 400.
Yeah. Sir walks a lot, which is, you know, would be a great thing. I mean, every hitter's going to slump. Obviously Peterson's is an especially long one. But when they can do that while they're slumping, I usually like that. But it's, you know, he's losing Don Mattingly's confidence and playing time. So it's just impossible to start right now, I feel like. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to drop him because he's still arguably the best active pure power hitter right now.
I cannot. Unless you really don't need the roster spot. I think he's so droppable. Just it's the playoffs, you know? Like, you gotta win right now, and Peterson's not even playing. And they have like, on their 25-man roster, they have something like 30 outfielders that get some playing time.
If you've got any sort of bench, I don't see how you can drop him in, like you said, because it's the playoffs. If in the next week he turns it around and starts playing every day again, that's somebody you're going to want in your lineup.
And you're not going to want in your opponent's lineup.
Yes.
Yeah, that is another consideration. Okay. Robert in Boston, Massachusetts. Hello, Luis, Albert, and Jose. This could be anyone.
I mean, I'm thinking Pujols, so who are the players
Bautista,
we put around?
Bautista, Abreu. Yeah, it's too vague. It's too vague. Too vague, Robert. Sorry.
It's probably something really obvious that we're missing.
Yeah. I'm currently a lock to have the number one seed in my playoffs, which starts September 7th. So, I need your help. All my moves should have the sole purpose of building the best team possible for the playoffs. I need two bats from this list. George Springer, Corey Dickerson, Melky, Billy Hamilton, Anthony Rendon.
I'm holding on to, is this a points league or categories? Because that makes a big difference for Hamilton. I'm holding on to Springer and Rendon, I think.
Yes, those two.
And I need three pitchers from this list. Jose Fernandez, Sean Doolittle, Iwakuma, Mats, Taiwan Walker, and Corbin.
Ooh. Well, Fernandez probably best case scenario is the middle of September.
That's a tough call.
That's a really tough call. I'm probably going to forego Fernandez because I'd want Iwakuma. Yeah, I think I'm going Iwakuma, Mats, and Corbin.
I was thinking Iwakuma, Mats, Walker.
Yeah, it's, you know, really you could go either way.
You know, I think I'd go Iwakuma, Mats, Fernandez.
Really? Okay.
I mean, Walker's been great at times, but yes, back in the last couple starts, he's been shaky again, and I just don't know that I would ever have the confidence to use him. I don't want to drop him, but, you know, I think he's less likely to burn you in the end than going to someone else than Fernandez would be.
Grade the trade from Chris in the ICT. Dear Giancarlo, Denard, and Christian. How did Denard get in there?
Yeah, because I was thinking maybe Gold Gloves, but yeah, Stanton didn't win it.
I don't know, Chris. Some of these have been kind of weak today. we'll grade it anyway. 12-team points league, 30-man rosters. I'm a virtual lock for the playoffs, so I was offered Nelson Cruz for Steven Strasburg and Miguel Sano to help out outfield for the playoffs.
Maybe it's just outfielders returning from the DL. I mean, Stan's not quite back yet.
Could be.
But sorry.
There we go.
Anyway, give up Strasburg and Sano to get Nelson Cruz.
It does feel like a little too much. And yet, I mean, depending on how his roster is constructed, if he's got a really good third baseman and really needs the outfield help.
He has Arenado.
I just have a hunch because he's been so hot for so long. I just feel like Cruz is going to fall off here in September.
Do you have the same fear for Sano?
Yeah, but I don't have the same fear for Strasburg.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see doing it, but I don't feel good about it necessarily.
I probably would turn it down.
Yeah. All right. Jake in Kansas City says, Dear Nerds, is Steven Piscotty worth owning in all formats? I'm very tempted to drop Carlos Beltran for him in my 10-team league.
Not all formats, but he's better than Beltran. I don't know why you own Beltran in a 10-team league. Seems crazy.
Oh, Beltran. I'm going to blow you away with his slash line since May 1st.
Yeah, no, it's...
But he doesn't play. He doesn't
He plays now.
Not against lefties.
I think he does.
I think he is now.
I thought he was platooning with Chris Young.
I think they abandoned that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
But Chris Young kills lefties.
Sometimes Gardner sits, sometimes Ellsbury sits.
Yeah, lately Gardner's been sitting more than Beltran.
Yeah, well, in any event, I would agree with that Piscotty is not necessarily a must-own. 12-team league, I would say he's worth owning in all formats. And in this case, I actually would rather a Beltran.
I think
Beltran's been playing because they haven't been facing any left-handers. They faced one in their last, I don't know how many this is, 12, 13 games.
Yeah, I don't know that he's going to sit because he's been their best hitter for a little while now. But that'll change, and then Beltran will probably start sitting more against lefties. Last 80 games since May 1st, 893 OPS, 302 with a 365 on base, 529 slugging for Beltran.
Since May 1st, you said?
Yeah. With a DL stint in there.
Yeah. That's awfully good for awfully long.
It is, but at the same time, I feel like he probably doesn't rank that high in fantasy.
No, that's kind of what I was getting at. And playing time probably had a lot to do with it, but if the playing time does increase, yeah, if nothing else, he's somebody who looks like he's worth starting when, you know, you see going into the week the Yankees are going to face a bunch of righties.
Okay. We've got Evan in St. Louis. Dear Bob, Stan, and Lou.
I figured this one out even before I saw he was from St. Louis.
This is what, Musial, Feller? No.
Gibson. Brock.
Oh, yeah. There you go. 14-team head-to-head categories league. Playoffs begin the week after next, so I need help with second base. Would you drop Delino to Shields for Jed Jerko, Ketel Marte, Wilmer Flores, or Asdrubal Cabrera?
Well, Marte's not eligible at second base in CBS leagues, but I'm assuming this guy knows he's eligible in his.
So
Marte.
Marte.
Yeah.
You dropped the Shields?
Yep.
Okay. Last email is from Paula in Long Island. Pick two keepers, 12-team points league. Abreu, Altuve, Dozier, Franco, Dickerson, DeGrom, Jose Fernandez.
Wow. I think I do have to go with one of the two pitchers. It's hard to go without one of them, but I'm going to go Jose there. And I'm going to go, gosh, all right, she says format points league.
Altuve. Come on.
I'm really choosing between the second baseman. So, yeah, I'll go Jose and Altuve. Or Fernandez and Altuve to make that less confusing.
The Jose's.
There's Jose Abreu, too.
Gosh.
I mean, if we're talking, you're doing this because, you know, thinking long term, I guess you have to keep Fernandez. But going into next year, I have Altuve and Abreu as my highest two.
I don't know that you have to keep Fernandez over DeGrom, though.
Well, no. But, you know, if we're thinking, okay, you have the potential to keep this guy for years to come. I mean, I still think Fernandez is going to... I think he's going to win multiple Cy Young Awards in his career. I think he's that good.
Yeah, I think you're right. Let's set some FanDuel lineups, friends. Have you guys done so?
I have not yet, so this ought to be very interesting and informative.
Garrett Cole.
No, you got to start Garrett Cole.
He's not even the most expensive starting pitcher. Of course, I will pull up that mystery man in a second. Sorry, getting FanDuel pulled up here. I did set a lineup. Don't love it. Kind of ran out of time. But Garrett Cole is at the Marlins, and you want him. There are some really lousy pitchers going today. Aaron Harang is facing the Mets, who have been hitting very well. Kind of interesting. Like, Granderson is pretty cheap, but he has terrible history against Aaron Harang, for whatever reason.
Aaron Harang is especially bad right now. I'm not worried about I'm almost never worried about BVP, but I'm definitely not worried about it in this case.
And neither am I, Al. I will.
Good for you.
You know what? Yesterday I had two guys that I mentioned for BVP, and one of them was Eric Ibar. He had very good numbers against Justin Verlander. That obviously didn't work out well. And nobody hit Verlander yesterday except for Iannetta. And Elvis Andrews, I said avoid him, even though he had good numbers against Price. So, you know, as I always try to say, it is never a blanket case for me. I don't just look at that and say, oh, we're in good shape here. BVP forever. I've been labeled that way. It's not the case. Anyway, the most expensive pitcher is Carlos Martinez at Arizona. Garrett Cole is $200 cheaper. He's at Miami. That is a no-brainer. Are there any other pitchers that you like? Are you looking at the slate?
I am now. And I've got to say, not really.
Yeah.
I mean, if he were cheaper, I would consider Carmart, but But no, it's going to be tough to go with a tournament pitcher tonight.
Here's a guy I had in my lineup that I'm going to actually take out and replace with Granderson, and it was Gregory Polanco. And I thought the Pirates would do some damage against Nicolino. But Nicolino hasn't been that bad, and actually he's been very good against lefties. So do you think we should sit left-handed Pirates?
Actually, I think that makes sense. And I'm sorry, just go back to pitchers. I did totally overlook Joe Ross there.
Yeah, could go with him. Carlos Rodon's been really good, but I'm not trusting him. It's not a great slate. Andrew Kashner at 7,400, he's been good. Catcher I found to be very difficult, so I just went with John Jaso at 2,300 just to get someone in there. Jose Abreu facing the lefty Roenis Elias. Brian Dozier facing a lefty Drew Smiley. Josh Harrison's only $2,400 or $2,400. 24 would be great. 2,400. You got to check, see if he's in the lineup. I have Johnny Peralta at shortstop. I don't like that at all. I'd like to change that. But shortstop, I couldn't get an expensive one in there. Denard Span at 3,100. Hopefully he's leading off. Starling Marte at 3,800. And Curtis Granderson at 3,300. Not my favorite lineup, but I don't know that you're going to love your lineup today. It's just, it's kind of a light slate. Only six games.
Yeah, that happens a lot in those small slate games. Small slate days, you just can't compare them to the full slate. But everybody else is in the same boat, so don't think it really reduces your chances of winning.
Trying to see, is there anything else, anybody else we like? Lefties against Ruby De La Rosa is always good, so maybe you take a chance on Colton Wong. Jason Hayward is 3,800. That's not terrible. Same price as Starling Marte, but I'll take Marte. Stephen Piscotty is lefty, right?
No.
Oh, okay then. Scratch that.
I think he's got pretty even splits. So, depending on, I'm sorry, I don't have his price right now.
3,300, same as Granderson.
Yeah, I think I'd pass on Piscotty. I think Wong is a good call there.
Wilmer Flores, actually. Let me see how much he is. Wilmer Flores is 3,300. That's kind of pricey. Fifth most expensive shortstop. Facing Harang, he's been really good lately. It looks like I'm stuck with Peralta. Peralta's been getting some hits lately, so maybe that's okay. 2,500
for
him.
I don't think that's not bad. Yeah, that's not bad.
I'll probably win $100. donate it to charity. I'll win the CBS pod contest. Okay, if you need more help, FanDuel.com, or go to FanDuel.com, but also watch Daily Fantasy Live at 4 p.m. Eastern on CBSSports.com, hosted by Ryan Bass. We'll talk baseball, football, college football, all that kind of stuff for Daily Fantasy. Enjoy it. Alan Scott, good to have you. Good to have the three of us podcast. It's been a while since the three of us.
Long time, so, yeah.
So good to get back in the swing of things. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
For Scott White, now Melky, I'm Adam Azer. Back tomorrow with another...